time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this time of year, the events get to be a little sketchy. I was looking through my records over the past Decembers, and lots of mention of birds at the bird feeders, and an occasional mention of a deer or a vole or a shrew or something like that, but not a lot of plant life. So it is that time of year when you need to kind of confine your search to those things that sort of show up or leave tracks. Although, when I was walking with Henry and Aaron Brown doing some birding, we saw a lot of dried flower structures, I will say. They were mostly seed structures. The goldenrods, of course, are pretty evident. They have a flower structure very similar to the flower that's, I mean, a seed structure that's very similar to the flowers that were on the plant back in August and September. So you can identify those. There are some, there's an invasive species in the area called spotted knapweed, and it's a purple flower. It's a very excellent pollinator source of nectar for butterflies and bees, but it is an invasive species to northern Minnesota, and it has crowded out a lot of native plants in areas around the area where we would rather not have spotted knapweed. And I did see a lot of that while we were walking around out in the woods. So there are some things to look at. And you know what makes it kind of interesting this time of year is sort of looking at those plants and then trying to figure out what plant it is, because some of them are remarkably similar to the summertime plant. Mullein comes to mind. It's a pretty easy one to identify this time of year because of its remarkable similarity to what it was when it was a green plant in the summertime, although the leaves in most cases are either drooping right flat to the stem or have fallen from the stems, but the seed heads remain, and they look remarkably like the flower heads that were there, pardon me, in the spring. Now, not all plants go dormant in the winter, or not all plants die back. I guess the word is senesce. Not all plants senesce in the winter. And while Aaron and Henry and I were out walking around, we came across a plant called common polypody. This is Polypodium virginianum. Rock fern is another name for this plant. It's a true fern. And polypody means many feet, referring to the rootstocks. The roots have a slightly licorice taste. They always, as the name rock fern would suggest, they always grow on rocky areas, or most often grow in rocky areas. Their ability to exploit poor soils and survive desiccation and rapidly rehydrate give these little ferns advantages over other plants, especially on that rocky structure, substrate that they grow on. An early colonizer, it creates soils, and it helps catalyze the weathering of the rock, which promotes new species coming into these areas. As the ferns die back, they create soils, and as those soils multiply, other plants are able to help to colonize these cracks that we find in the rocks. Henry David Thoreau was a fan of polypody, and he remarked that they, he was in his winter writings, he remarked about how they were such fresh and cheerful communities, and they really are, because they're bright green, and they're easy to spot if you're in rocky country. And from Grand Rapids going to the northeast, boy, rocky country is what we have. And if you are in an area where there are rocks, look for these ferns. They're from 8 to maybe 10 to 12 inches long. They're pretty simple in their structure, and they have many of them have sori on the undersides of the leaves. So if you turn the leaf over, you'll see these little brown circles, and that's where the spores are produced. And Polypody is a true fern, so it reproduces by spores. And someday I'll try to understand how that whole system works better and try to explain it all to you in a way that will make sense to you as well. But suffice it to say, these plants are older than flowering plants. These plants came along well before flowering plants ever colonized the earth. These lovely little ferns that you can find in the rocky country are often eaten by ruffed grouse and turkeys and deer, but this is a bit like some of the early explorers after they'd eaten all their food trying to survive on rock tripe. It gives you something to do with your mouth while you're starving to death. So I wouldn't expect the ruffed grouse or the deer or the turkeys to actually eat a lot of polypody and make a regular habit of it. Other observations I mentioned, we were looking at the difference between mouse tracks, which are on top of the snow, and vole tracks, which are under the snow where they can be. Now the snow is quite a bit deeper. We've gotten another couple of inches of snow yesterday, and that will make travel for the voles much, much better. They prefer to be under that layer of snow and hiding. But lest you think that that's an effective deterrent to being predated by owls, it should be noted that the great gray owl can hear a mouse under 2 feet of snow from 90 feet away. So if you're a mouse or a vole trying to sneak along under the snow, chances are if there's a great gray owl nearby, it knows where you are, and you may end up as part of its diet without meaning to. Yesterday, as I was walking along, I found a trail. Now, usually the vole leaves a trail about, this is the one that goes under the snow now, and this trail is going to be about an inch across, maybe a little less, maybe 3/4 of an inch. But I was walking along yesterday, and I found a track in the snow that was only about 1/2 inch across. And it occurred to me that this was probably a shrew, because voles just, you know, they make a wider track. They're fatter. And the shrew is, this thing was just, you know, look at your little finger. And that was about the size of this track. And the diameter of your little finger is pretty close to the diameter of a shrew. And they are out as well as the voles and the mice. And shrews are absolutely voracious. They will eat anything that they come across. Anything. I mean, they'd tackle a mouse, which would be twice their size, and try to kill it and eat it. So when you see the track of a shrew, and you will if you're looking, just remember that these little guys are mighty fierce little predators out there. As I was walking along yesterday, besides the shrew track, I saw a spider walking across the top of the snow. Now, I can't even imagine how that spider got itself warm enough to actually be walking along, but it was walking. It wasn't just sitting in one spot. It was walking across the road in the snow, and I was pretty impressed by that. That's a pretty well-developed spider, and getting around like that is pretty amazing. So, other things that we observed, well, we saw female common golden eyes. There were several of those on the Prairie River below the bike trail bridge there, the snowmobile trail bridge on the Prairie River, just south of the bridge on 61. We also saw a common or a river otter up on the ice at the head of the gorge on Prairie Lake. Prairie Lake is made up of two lobes, and in between there's a rocky ridge where the polypody grows, and that rocky ridge, the river, the lake, cuts through there, and that water stays open pretty much all winter. And because it is open water, it is an attractor for a lot of critters, including the river otter. We saw some ravens out eating on a well-picked carcass, two bald eagles, one sitting on the bank of the Prairie River, and the other studiously watching a road-killed deer, and the fact that it was up in the tree, it probably had already eaten all that it was needing for the morning anyway before it was going to move on. You may have seen the picture that I posted on Facebook this past week of a female pileated woodpecker who was mounted on the Norway pine that supports my suet feeder. And she was stretching as far as she could reach from the tree to the suet feeder. And then she extended her tongue probably 2 inches, which is phenomenal when you think about it. And she was licking the suet. Now, I think she was just trying to find out if it was what she thought it was, which is to say suet, but it wasn't too long after she stuck her tongue out and licked it. I managed to catch a picture of her doing that, and then shortly after that, she hopped onto the suet feeder and discovered that it was much easier to just whack off big chunks of it and swallow them than it was to just lick the suet and try to recover some of it that way. You may recall last week, Dallas Hudson and I were both wondering about the absence of downy and hairy woodpeckers, which we had both been seeing in reasonable numbers around our homes. And then they were gone and we weren't really seeing them anymore. And this past week, a hairy woodpecker showed up at our suet feeder and began to avail herself of the suet there. So that was a good thing. And as I mentioned in the past, the Canada Jays have been regular daily visitors to the deer carcass in our front yard and probably are, even as we speak, getting some breakfast off of that thorax of the deer. That's our phenology show for this week. As always, we encourage you to communicate with us. Let us know what's happening in your yard. Visit our KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page on Facebook and post your pictures and peruse a little bit. And gosh, it's just it's exciting to be alive in these wonderful times. And I hope that you will have a Merry Christmas and that you will get out and do a little wandering about in the wilds and maybe send us a note or two about what you're seeing.